Welcome to Campfire Stories for Kids, an original podcast made by kids for kids.
Get ready for some thrills, chills, and even a few laughs.
We will be reading our scary stories on our very own Flaming Marshmallow scale. A level 1 through 3 probably won't be so scary.
Levels 4 through 7 will be creepy.
And a level 8 through 10 is definitely scary.
So sit back and relax.
And join us by the campfire.
Hello, campers. Welcome to our final episode for the summer season of Campfire Stories for Kids. I have to say, we have all enjoyed having you with us, and it has been a lot of fun. A lot of new stories, a lot of good ones. We have some of the best writers in the business right here who happen to be between the ages of 6 to 11 years old. Maybe a 12-year-old in there. But it's always a lot of fun, and trust me, we plan on doing this again next summer. But we're going to end the season with another Stories Around the Campfire. And we just had at our camp, because even though this is supposed to be a pretend camp in the podcast, we actually are part of a real camp, and this is a project that we do. And we had a storytelling competition, and we had everybody who wanted to write a story submit a story, and we passed it around to all the counselors, and we voted, and we picked the story that we thought would be a good one to read for the final episode of Campfire Stories for Kids. And so we'll do that one last, because, you know, why not go out with a bang? And so what we're going to do now is we're going to start out with just a round of questions from our real campers, and just kind of get some ideas about what we liked, what we didn't like, maybe share some ideas about our favorite stories, favorite kind of stories, things like that, and maybe some of our favorite memories from doing the show. And of course, I'll tell a few scary stories. All right, so that being said, from the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all of the of you that are here, what was your favorite story this summer that you guys wrote? All right. I'm going to start over here. Lennon. Speak up, Lennon.
My favorite story that I wrote was probably the one that I wrote.
Here, wait, hold on. Come a little bit closer to the microphone.
Yeah. The one that I wrote about where there was two campers that traveled the world together.
Wait, is this one that we did as a show?
No.
Oh, no, I'm talking about shows. Oh. Lennon, if we went over all the stories that you wrote for the summer, for just doing our own campfire stories up here, it would take up 2 days. What was your favorite story that we did for the show? Because you were in one of them, weren't you?
Yeah, I was in one.
All right, scoot up to the microphone. Kinley, can you scoot over that way? All right, so would you say that was your... Have you listened to the other ones?
Yes.
Lennon, have you listened to the other ones?
Yes.
That was very quiet, Lennon.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right, so which one's your favorite one?
All of them. I just like all
of them. What a great answer, Lennon. Good job. All right, who else? All right, we'll start over here. Go ahead. Speak into the microphone.
My favorite story, can we talk about the one that we did for the contest?
Sure, here.
My favorite story was my story called the crocodile one.
Oh, well, that's one that you wrote for the competition.
I know.
I'm talking about the ones that we did for children, the ones that we did for the show. The ones that you this is Kylie. Kylie did a lot of the recording for our episodes.
Hi.
Mm-hmm. She learned how to use a soundboard. All right, so what was the favorite episode that you recorded?
Playtime.
What did you like about Playtime?
Because I liked the creepy noises of what Summer did when she said Playtime, oh, Playtime.
So you liked the sound effects and everything. The voices were good, yeah. We got some good voice actors here.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to move over here. All right. Sorry about the little banging, folks. All right, go ahead, Kinley.
I wrote Playtime, and I really did like being Cat, but probably my favorite part was when I jumped through the window. I thought that was super cool, and then I saw, like, the graves in the open one. That was super fun doing it with Summer.
Can I ask you this, Kinley? How did it feel to jump through a plate glass window and land on the ground outside?
It was fun.
Oh, good, yeah.
To be honest, I've never, like, broken a glass and got to, like, throw it through it on, like, purpose. So actually getting to jump through a window was fun.
All right. Now, of course, we say that, but we didn't really have her go through a window because we don't have an insurance to cover that. But with the power of sound effects, you can do anything. But Kinley did perform her own stunts because when we had to get the sound, she jumped up and down and fell in her seat. I don't know how many times, like 12 or 13.
We did that like 20 times.
20 times of her just plopping down in her chair going, But it's, there you go. She just became a professional at it. All right, who else wants to, I'll swing it over this way. All right. Miss Delilah, go ahead and speak into the microphone for me, please.
My favorite story was probably Hide and Scream. I wasn't in it, but I really liked the script.
What did you like about it?
I liked how they had the creepy doll following them and how instead of the kids playing hide and seek, the doll was the seeker.
That's right. And you know what? Delilah was actually one of our narrators for an episode. That was your first time doing this too, wasn't it? Well, mm-hmm. Which one were you the narrator for? Was it the first one? Playtime? No, Emily. Yeah, Emily did that one. Oh, was it the Shy Boy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Shy Boy. That was a pretty good one, too. All right. Who wants to go next? All right, I'm going to swing it over here. Stella! Sorry. Go ahead.
My favorite story was Hide and Scream 2. I really liked the doll and the voices, how we did, like, I'm strong and I'm mighty.
Oh, yeah, and that was my son, Oliver. He's actually 4 years old, but he was so pumped. He's like, I want to do it. And I was like, okay, I'll let you do it. And then when he heard it, he made us listen to that episode at least 37 times. Miley, did you want to share it? Okay, scoot up. Wheel your chair forward, child.
My favorite story was The Shy Boy.
You liked it? What did you like about Shy Boy?
That the Shy Boy kidnapped all the campers, and then Caleb actually was very scared about it.
Yeah, and you know what? Miley was actually the unusual child at the camp, the one that put everybody in a cage. So technically, you liked it because you got to be the one putting everybody in a cage.
Yes.
Yes. And we changed her. We actually changed her voice because she said, I'm not a boy. How are we going to do that? And so we just used special effects and we made her voice deeper so she sounded like a boy. And it worked out. Anybody else want to share? All right, Christian, go ahead. No, it's not story. Okay, don't worry about it. Anybody else? Avienda? Did you have a favorite episode? No, she liked them all just like Lennon did. All right, so we had a lot of fun. Now, going around the table, what kind of stories do you guys like? Does somebody want to share what kind of story they like? All right. Well, just what type of stories do you like? What kind of stories would you like for like next summer? All right, we'll keep it over here and then we'll go back the other way. Go ahead, Miley.
Haunted Mansion.
You like Haunted Mansions? Or you like the movie Haunted Mansion?
The story.
Okay, so you want more stories about Haunted Mansions?
Yes.
Okay, all right. How about you, Stella?
Like haunted schools.
A haunted school? We did that last summer, but I think we could do even better this next summer. Yes. How about you, Delilah?
I would say like realistic stories.
What do you mean by realistic stories? Like a true story? Ooh.
True stories, because those are the scariest ones.
You know what? Maybe when I tell a story today, I'll tell one of the true stories I have, because I don't think I've shared any of those on there. That's a good one. All right. Christian, you got to scoot forward so that we can hear you on it. That's all right. You can stand up, too, if you need to.
Yeah. Like the type of, like, scary.
Closer to the microphone.
Yeah. Like this close?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Like, no, you went away from it now.
Like type of stories that are like the babysitter.
Okay, so you like the creepy, suspenseful stories. Okay. All right.
Ones like playtimes that they give you a turn that you didn't expect.
Yeah.
Like the graves and jumping through a window.
Oh yeah, that was a good one. Right out of the gate, that was one of the best stories we had this summer.
I got the most views, didn't it?
It got a lot of listens. Yes, it did. All right, Lennon, you're going to have to scoot forward, man.
I got a suggestion and I got like a type of story.
Okay.
So for next year, you should add like, because what is the flaming scale up to?
It's like up to a 10, I think.
That's 10. You should make like the flaming scale a little bit higher. And what if you make the flaming scale a little bit higher? More people will want to watch the scary, scary stories. And the type of stories that I like are the ones that give you goosebumps.
I like mystery or like I like mystery or historical fiction because
Wait, hold on. We just had a collapse over here. Microphones collided. Sorry, people. Then Miss Danielle just dropped her phone. This real drama happening right now.
Miss Danielle,
Technical issues. This is what happens when we do things live. But you know what? It keeps it interesting, and I'm sure there's some people who are chuckling right now because they can't believe this is this is what it sounds like when
there's another crash. There's another crash somewhere.
This is yep. How we should let Mr. Gary use the soundboard.
This has nothing to do with me using the soundboard. I am a professional right here. All right, go ahead, Kylie.
I like historical fiction because I like to read like I Survived books because it tells about like scary things happening but make believe kids.
Yeah, those are really good. Mm-hmm. Those are really good. I've read a few of them. There was one.
All of them.
There's one of them I like. It's The Great Molasses Flood.
Oh yeah, I want to get the graphic novel.
That was. I looked into that, and you want to talk about like true story that was like horrifying. If you haven't listened, anybody who's listening to this podcast, if you have not heard of the Great Molasses Flood,
that's scary.
You got to look it up. It's fascinating.
Who knew scary but fascinating.
Who knew that boiling sugar could go so wrong and flood an entire town?
So in school, I read most of the I Survived books, and on our computers, we have a app called Epic, and you can go on there, and you can search stories up.
To wrap it up, right now, we've got, I want to say probably over 40-some-odd countries. Right now, we have over 40-some-odd countries who are listening to these podcasts. What advice would you give to any kids who are listening who want to do their own stories or maybe start something like this? What would you tell them? All right. Remember, you got to speak up loud for the microphone.
I would say keep reading and keep writing.
You think that's the most important thing? Read as much as you can?
Yep, because then you get ideas in your head and then you just create something.
That's true. And when you see how other people write, it gives you ideas about how you can write.
Sort of what Kinley said, keep writing and more imagination will go through your head to make scary stories.
Mm-hmm. What inspires you when you're trying to come up with a story?
So I already have like a really big imagination. So like my imagination takes me places and it makes me think of like stories pop out of my head and nowhere.
They just pop out of your head.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good story for next time. The girl whose imagination and it comes to life and the ideas pop out of her head and start attacking people.
My idea would be if you keep listening to stories, you could get your own idea and then you could start writing something like that, but more.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Keep imagination in mind for all your life if you want to be a writer, because you can just write it down on paper and you got a perfect story.
That's a fantastic idea. All right. Lennon, you have a whole bunch of different ideas because you write a whole bunch of different stuff.
Yeah, I do.
Speak up to the microphone, man.
It's hard. Can't really.
Lennon is one of the most talkative people I know at this camp. And yes. Yet when the microphone goes in front of him, he goes quiet.
It is true. But I would say if you want to write stories, I agree with
Kenley.
Kenley.
So we're going to switch over to doing stories now. Now, we are sitting around the table, so I'm going to ask that you watch your feet so we don't bump the table while we're dealing with stories. All right, so now I'm going to take requests. Before we started the show, we talked about stories we already did because we don't want to repeat anything. And so I'm going to start from my left, and I'm going to make my way to to the right around the table. All right. Kenley, you had your hand.
Talking Tina.
The funny or scary?
Funny.
Oh, we already did the funny Talking Tina last
one. But come on, it's so good.
I know, you guys like the funny
I'm
one.
I'm begging you.
We'll please. See. Avienda.
Scary Talking Tina.
All right, we can do the scary Talking Tina.
Oh, I like the scary Talking Tina.
Delilah.
The horrible thing.
The horrible thing? We did that one. Yeah, we did that one last time. All right. Christian. Are you talking about Tasty Sausage, the guy that turned people into sausages? We could always try that one, sure.
Mr. Gert, every time you swing around the mic, you're like this close to hitting me in the face.
What people don't see is that the microphone that we have for the kids is actually on an extending arm. And so I'm moving it around so that I can, because everybody's sitting around the table and I only have two microphones. It's not that I'm broke, I just can only afford two. And so every time I swing it around, it almost hits Kinley. Yes, they almost hits Kinley in the head. But she's done a great job because she's a good dodgeball player, so she can dodge the microphone. If you can dodge a microphone, you can dodge a ball. All right. All right, hang on, let me spin around. This is Miss Danielle who's going to request, even though she's not a kid.
How about the Blood Sisters?
Ooh, Blood Sisters. I haven't told that one in a long time. All right.
I still get
scared. It wasn't that close to hitting me in the face.
Yeah, it's because I pulled it back a little bit, so you won't get a black eye.
Oh, good job.
Thank you. You know what? I'm looking out for each one of you. You're welcome. All right, here we go. This one is called Blood Sisters. Now, this story came from a book that I picked up when I was in second or third grade at the Scholastic Book Fair.
Oh.
Yeah. And so here we go, Blood Sisters. So Karen and Amanda were best friends all the way up through elementary school, middle school, all the way up to high school. They were the best of friends. They did everything together. Karen and Amanda were inseparable. If one was going to do something, the other one would do the exact same thing. And they made a pact with each other. This one day after school, they were having a sleepover at Amanda's house. And Karen and Amanda, they took out a pen and they both pricked their fingers and squeezed it until it bled. And then they touched their fingers together and they said, "Blood sisters together, blood sisters never depart, blood sisters till death do we part." It was a promise. So the two eventually got old enough. They were in high school. And Amanda wanted to try out for cheerleading, and Karen wanted to go out with her too. And so they got to the auditions and the practice and whatever. And they did good. But the cheerleaders were very, it was a group of girls who were very cliquey, and They didn't like Karen and Amanda. They thought they were a little bit odd, kind of judgy, right? And so they thought, how can we keep these two from actually joining the squad? Oh, how about we tell them to stay in that old mansion? Nobody ever does that. Now, they had done this before with other girls that they thought just wouldn't fit in with their special group. And so they told Karen and Amanda to meet them at this old abandoned house and to be there around 11. So they all met up that night outside of the house, and the head cheerleader said, when the two of you go in, you'll have to stay there all night, and the only time you're allowed to come out is in the morning. So Karen and Amanda are like, oh, this is easy. We could do this, no problem. The cheerleader said, then, if either one of you comes out before morning, before the sun comes up, then neither one of you will make the squad. Karen and Amanda took their sleeping bags, they went inside, they sat up their stuff, they pulled out some flashlights, they played some card games, they ate some food. And honestly, everything was going fine, and they didn't really see what the whole fuss was. I mean, at least they had each other. It wasn't like they were doing it alone. But then all of a sudden, there was a noise, and it was coming from the upstairs. So the two girls, they got up, they grabbed their flashlights. Now, Amanda figured it was probably one of the cheerleaders, probably snuck into the house trying to scare them. So the two girls went up the stairs slowly, and when they got to the top of the stairs, they looked down the hallway. And when they looked down the hallway, they saw that there was a bedroom door that was open, but it was very dark. And as they moved closer to this open doorway, they saw something flicker. It was two eyes just shining back at them, reflecting light like the way a dog's eyes or a cat's eyes reflect light when a flashlight moves past them. They picked up their flashlights and they shone them into the room, and there standing in the doorway of the room was a tall figure of a man. His face was all sunken in, dried out like a mummy. His skin was pale white, and his eyes were a deep mustard yellow. His nails were long and his fingers were bony. And when he smiled at them with his wicked grin, they saw two very long, sharp teeth. The two girls were horrified. Horrified. They ran down the stairs. But as soon as they turned to run down the stairs, he was already there. Like a snap, he had gone from the room to the bottom of the stairs. Karen and Amanda tried to push their way past him. Boom, out the door. Karen got all the way to the end of the sidewalk, and the cheerleaders were out there. They were laughing their heads off. Oh, you guys are chicken. Scared, scaredy cats. And you're not on the squad. Karen's heart was pounding so hard. She said, listen, I don't care about that right now. Where's Amanda? What are you talking about? Said the cheerleader. You're the only one that came out. There was a man in there. He had long teeth and his skin, it was all just pale. It was scary. It was horrifying. So all the girls went inside to see, but Amanda and the man, they were nowhere to be seen. It was like they had both just vanished. Well, they called the police, and for weeks, for months, they searched all over the place, wherever they could look, but they could never find Amanda. So this one night, Ashley was laying in her bed, and she was lying there thinking, what was she going to do? I mean, her best friend was gone. But then she heard kind of a tapping and scratching on her window. So she went over and she opened up the blinds, and it was Amanda. She was outside of her window. And so, yes, you have a question in the middle of the story. Yeah, I know, sometimes, because I'm making up the names as I go along. So Karen, okay, thank you, Karen. I'll remember that. So Karen went over to her window and she pulled back the drapes. And there was Ashley outside of her window. But the thing was that...
It's Karen and Amanda. There's no Ashley.
Yeah, there's no Ashley.
There's no Ashley. There's Amanda.
Amanda. Okay, Karen and Amanda. All right, hang on. This thing's going to get edited. All right. So, Karen and Amanda. Ashley. All right.
No, it's Amanda.
What?
Sorry.
Huh?
It's Amanda and Karen.
Amanda and Karen. All right. I got to, like, write down the names. All right.
I don't have a piece of paper with
Karen and Amanda. All right. So, Karen went over to the window. She pulls back the drapes, and there's Amanda floating outside of her window. And she's staring back at Karen with those same glistening eyes. And when she smiles, she has those same sharp teeth. And she looks at Karen and she says, blood sisters forever, never to part. Blood sisters, forever, till death do we part. Karen shut the window. She went back to her bed. But this thing, the same thing kept happening over and over and over and over again, every single night, until Karen graduated from high school. It even continued on until she was in college. She figured that the only way she was going to be able to get away from this, is to just move out of the country. So Karen eventually accepted a job in France, and she made a life for herself there. And for a few years, life was good. She didn't have to worry about Amanda. She didn't have to worry about her haunting her the way that she did. Till one evening, she heard outside of her window. And there was Amanda. Blood sisters forever, never to part. Blood sisters forever, till death do we part. And folks, it was true. The last time Amanda saw Karen, and the last time Karen saw Amanda, was when Karen died as an old woman, 92 years old, and only then was she able to rest in peace. So this one is the scary talking Tina. So Sarah and her mother had gone to the store, and Sarah saw this beautiful doll. Her name was Talking Tina, and she wanted her so badly. And so her mother thought, you know, she's such a good girl. She would treat her. So they bought the doll, and they brought it home. And the little girl was so excited. And so she told her father, she said, "Daddy, Daddy, look, look what I got." And the father looked at the doll, and he said, "What's this ridiculous thing?" And she said, "Daddy, it's Talking Tina. And look," and she pulled the string on the doll, and the doll said, "My name is Talking Tina, and I want to be your friend." "Cute," he said, "real cute." And he handed the doll back to Sarah. Sarah went upstairs, and she closed her door so she could play with Talking Tina. And then the father looked at the mother and he said, "How could you spend so much money on something so ridiculous when we have so many other things that we could be spending money on that we need?" And so the father said, "We could be spending money on a lot of other things besides silly little dolls and toys." The mother, she looked at him, she said, "Yeah, but Sarah's such a good girl, and she deserved it." "Bah!" That evening, they all sat around the table, eating their meal. Sarah was pretending to feed Tina, being a good mother, taking care of her child. That's what she liked to pretend. She liked to pretend that she was a good mommy. And Sarah's father said, "Put that silly thing up. This is dinner. Not a time for playing." Sarah, she froze, and her eyes started to well up with tears. She was getting so sad. She left the table, and she went upstairs. And the mother, she looked at the father, gave him that disgusted look, said, "Really?" And she went to go and talk to Sarah. The father looked and he saw the doll sitting there just staring at him. And then Tina spoke. "My name is Talking Tina, and I don't think I like you very much." The father picked up the doll and he went upstairs. "Real cute. Was there a walkie-talkie in this thing? You guys want to mess with me? Make the doll say weird, creepy things? Funny." The mother, she looked at him and she said, "I don't know what you're talking about. Nobody's playing jokes here." So he left the room. He went downstairs with the doll, and he took it and he tossed it in the trash can. He told Sarah, enough was enough with the dolls. The poor little girl, she cried herself to sleep that night. When he went back up to his room, he saw that the mother was just, she was beside herself. She was so angry. How could you? That was her gift. It wasn't yours to take and throw away. He felt a little bad, so he went in to say goodnight to Sarah and apologize. But there was Talking Tina on the girl's bed. And Tina said, Sarah, Sarah, wake up. Sarah sat up, Daddy? The father was shocked. It couldn't be, the doll couldn't be alive. He reached down and he snatched it up. Daddy, what are you doing? Enough. This thing is going in the trash and it's staying in the trash. And he went downstairs and he took the doll and he went into the basement. And he said, fine. If I can't throw you away, I'll find another way to destroy you. So he took Tina over and he turned on the table saw and he slid the doll up to the table saw, but sparks flew. When he looked at the doll's neck, there was no cuts, no scratches, nothing. Huh? That just tickles. You're gonna have to do better. He took a torch, and he tried to burn the plastic, but it wouldn't melt. He tried to squeeze the doll in vice and crush it, but the doll wouldn't crush. You can't stop me. There's nothing you can do. Really, he said. He put her inside of a burlap bag and he tied it up real tight and threw it in a trunk and then locked up the trunk. You can spend the night in there. So he went back upstairs. And when he got up there, he saw that the mother was packing up her bags. She said to him in the morning, we're gone. And she went and stayed in the daughter's room. Fine. Good riddance, he said. And he went to sleep. At some point in the middle of the night, he heard a noise. Footsteps on the stairs. He opened the door to his room and walked out. He started going down the stairs one at a time when all of a sudden he slipped and fell. Landed with a thud at the bottom of the stairs. Broke his neck. Well, the mother and Sarah, they were woken up by the sound. They came out of the room and saw him laying in a heap at the bottom. And on the stairs was Talking Tina. The mother bent down and she picked up the doll. And the doll spoke. My name is Talking Tina. And if you know what's good for you, you'll be nice to me too. Now, that story comes from an episode of The Twilight Zone. And it was written by Rod Serling. I'm pretty sure he wrote that episode. And he was like the best storyteller ever. And those episodes are just amazing. So if you get a chance, check it out. Now, of course, I changed it around a little bit, but it's pretty much the exact same story and definitely worth a watch. All right. Tasty Sausage, that was the other one. So the name of this story that was requested is Tasty Sausage, although it comes from the Alvin Schwartz book, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. It's actually, I think, called Wonderful Sausage or something along that line. And so I'm going to tell my own version of it, and I'm going to make it a little bit more tamer. The one that's in the Schwartz book is a little bit more creepy, but we're going to try and keep our stories for today in the realm of the 7 to 8 flaming marshmallows. So there was this butcher shop that sat on the corner, And it was owned by this fellow. He was a butcher of many, many, many years. And he was a very strong-headed fella and demanded to have things his way. And his wife, she wanted things her way. And they would often butt heads about things and have arguments and disagreements. And one day he had just had it. He had had enough. So he decided that he was going to take things into his own hand. And his wife disappeared. But there was a new sausage that had shown up at his butcher shop. And word spread very quickly as to how tasty and how wonderful the sausage was. People came from all over the place. And they wanted more. They wanted more of this wonderful sausage. So the butcher, he had to start thinking. So people started going missing around town. There were flyers up here and there, all over the place. There was a plump teacher who walked into the barber shop. Not barber shop. There was a plump teacher who walked into the butcher shop. He thought to himself, that teacher would make a wonderful sausage. And the next week, there was more sausage. There was a rather robust salesman who stepped into the butcher shop and tried to sell him some insurance. He too became some sausage. Well, he probably would have gotten away with all of it had it not been for one particular Boy Scout who came tromping into his store. How could he pass it up? This kid was plump and juicy. Oh, he would make a wonderful sausage. So the butcher, he grabbed him by the wrist and he was pulling him back behind the counter, when all of a sudden the kid, he broke free and he took off running. And the butcher, well, he started chasing after him. He was chasing after him down the block and his eyes were just blazing and he was screaming, "Get back here!" And of course, this drew a lot of attention. And it became very apparent to a police officer who was standing in the middle of the street directing traffic that something was going on. And of course, when he caught up to the pair of them, he found out pretty quickly there was something fishy happening at the butcher shop. Well, of course, the secret was out. And yes, there were consequences for this butcher's decision. But there are still people in that town that talk about the tasty sausage and how much they miss it. Ew. Kind of creepy to think about, isn't it? Ugh. All right. This is from Lexi. All right. This is going to be our final story. This is the winner from our scary story competition from Lexi. And it's called The Shadows. All right. Let me get my good reading voice on here. All right, so she put it at the beginning. She said, disclaimer. The setting of this story is a real place. And people have seen the shadows in person. The Witch's Forest is located somewhere in California, I think. Creepy. Of course, you know I'm going to be Googling that myself when I get home. I am curious to find out all about the Witch's Forest. All right, now that being said, let's dive into this. The title of the story is The Shadows. As soon as Jacob heard about the Witch's Forest, he knew he had to tell his friends Chrissy and Billy about it. "We have to go there," shouted Chrissy. "I've always wanted to." Billy, however, was reluctant to leave the safety of his apartment. But Billy gave in and went with Jacob and Chrissy. After a few hours of driving, they finally made it to the Witch's Forest. With the daylight they had left, the group set up camp. After sunset, they started their investigation. Jacob got out the REM pod. Chrissy whipped out the spirit box, and Billy grabbed the EMF reader. When the investigation didn't go as planned, they decided to end it until they heard a blood-curdling scream. "What on earth was that?" Billy exclaimed. "That was a scream," Chrissy shouted. All three of them brushed it off like it was nothing. Little did they know that that scream would be following them all night. When the group got back to the camp, Jacob decided to play with the Ouija board. Chrissy and Billy knew that was not a good idea, so they stayed in the tent. No matter how much Jacob tried, he rarely got any answer. That was when he saw the shadow person. When the shadow noticed him, the shadow made the same scream that they heard earlier during the investigation. Jacob ran as fast as he could back to the tent. "Did you hear that?" he asked. "Hear what?" Chrissy asked. "The scream," Jacob shouted. "No," Billy and Jacob said in unison. Jacob had a hard time sleeping that night. He couldn't stop thinking about that shadow person. That same scream started up again. Billy and Chrissy both were jolted awake. "Oh, God, not again," Billy said. The scream was getting closer by the second. We have to go now," Jacob said. The group started packing up the camp as quickly as possible. By the time they had everything in the backpack, the screams were so close they sounded like it was in their ears. They made it to the car, only for Chrissy to say, Wait. Where's Billy?" The end. That's good. And that is why we picked that story. Again, there was a whole bunch of wonderful entries, but that one definitely stood out as one of the more creepy and one of the most well-written stories that we had as a submission this year. So congratulations again to Lexi. You did a phenomenal job. And as promised, your story was read for the final episode of this season for Campfire Stories for Kids. So before we close this out, let's go ahead. Let's thank everybody for listening and supporting us, because, I mean, if we didn't have people listening to this podcast, well, it just wouldn't happen. And if we didn't have such great writers and storytellers in this room, we wouldn't have a good podcast. So thank you to you guys for helping out and being a part of this project. And thank you to all the people who are out there listening in all of the different countries, the U.S., North America, South America, most of Europe, Africa, Asia, everywhere. All right, so guys, why don't we take a moment? Let's just say thank you to everybody. Oh, that was weak. Listen, we got 10,000 people listening. I can hear that.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much from all of us here in sunny Florida, from our own camp. Thank you very much. And we hope that you guys keep listening and join us again next summer for season 3, which has not started and won't start until
next year.
June. And we'll see you here, and we look forward to having you with us around our campfire. Ta-ta for now. Well, campers, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode, and don't worry, we'll be back next week with another chilling tale. If you like what you heard, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you'll get all the new episodes the moment they hit. We also want to thank our cast and crew of Campfire Kid Players. Also, thank you to our partner, City of Port Orange, for helping and supporting our podcast. Until next week, we'll see you around the campfire.